I'd wonder what we're going to be talking about.
Fun isn't something one considers when spoiling the plot of Infinity War, but this does bring a smile to my face.
Oh, this is James Hall saying hello.
This is Michael Beckwith saying hello. Guess what we're talking about today? Yes. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze on the Switch. No.
Yeah, so just going to put this warning in advance. We are going to be talking about Infinity War. We are going to be spoiling Infinity War a lot.
We're spoiling the crap out of this. So I'm going to give you 5 seconds to turn off, to go away mm-hmm. before we start spoiling, okay?
It will also be in the description on the SoundCloud as well. So if you're listening at this point, it's on you.
Okay, you got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, they're gone. Can you believe Wolverine shows up at the very end? To save the day.
To save the day and finally be Thanos.
What a shocker. I was not expecting
I was not expecting the Silver Surfer to also riding at the last minute
that,
either.
Yeah. And Rom Space Knight. I thought that was very obscure.
Yeah.
We can run with that.
And the Taskmaster. What they did with the Taskmaster. We're kidding on those fronts.
I won't lie. There was like a little part of me that was hoping to get at least like a Wolverine cameo somewhere. But fair enough, they didn't do that. And credits to them that they didn't.
Yeah. Maybe eventually. Yeah. Maybe in the next movie.
Maybe.
Because it is going to be a direct sequel to this one.
I think it's because like the Fox merger hasn't gone through yet. So technically they can't use the characters yet.
Ah, fair enough.
But that might have some... Because I feel like if they had the characters, they would like... Cause, same with Spider-Man in Civil War. Like the moment they got Spider-Man back, they were like, just put him in Civil War. We don't care if it doesn't make sense. We just need him in Civil War.
It works.
Yeah, I was about to say, before you jump on me, I love Spidey in Civil War. But come on, his entry was very forced.
It was forced like hell, but... We don't care.
Same thing with Infinity War, actually, because there are genuine criticisms with Infinity War. I do not think it is a perfect movie, and I've seen very valid complaints about it. The thing is, though, I don't care because the rest of the movie is great.
Great.
In fact, last time I do this, the best way to sum up this movie is a quote from the film itself. I think it's good, except it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, where do we even start with this movie?
Well, should we start at the beginning? Because the beginning already sets the tone of, oh dear God!
Yeah, the fact that like we get like the Marvel logo, but there's no music, mm-hmm. and then
it's all silent.
And then you start hearing like the distress signal from the Asgardian ship, and it's like, oh
yes,
God.
Remember for Ragnarok, how we're like, yes, it's hopeful, because the last of the Asgardians are on the ship, and they're all safe after Asgard's been blown up. Yeah, about that.
Remember how fun Thor Ragnarok was? How silly and enjoyable and lighthearted it was? Thanos kind of just took a crap all over that.
Yeah, so what happens is the Asgardian ship is boarded by the Black Order and Thanos himself, who... I don't remember all of the Black Order's names.
I do, because I'm sad like that.
Except for one, my favourite, Ebony Maw? The very thin...
Here's the thing, though. It's kind of unfair to call Ebony Maw the favourite of the Black Order, considering he's the only one that's interesting.
True, yeah.
That's my first complaint. The Black Order, or the Children of Thanos, whatever the hell they're called... Aside from Ebony Maw, they're so dull.
They're given nothing really to do, except they're like just generic henchmen and women.
In a video game, they'd be the generic bosses. But even in a video game, they'd give the bosses a bit more identity. Here, it's just fodder for the heroes to fight.
Especially the big one.
Well,
he has no big brutes.
He literally has no personality. He's just there to scream at you. I mean, I liked how the members of the Black Order all got like little rivalries with the other heroes. Like Corvus Glaive had like... You know, two fights with Visions. There was a bit of a rivalry going on there. Proxima Midnight had hers with Scarlet Witch. Cull Obsidian, the big brute guy, obviously with Hulk. Mm-hmm. Not with Hulk, actually. More with Banner than anything.
Oh, but we'll get to that in a moment.
And Ebony Maw, of course, with Doctor Strange. But yeah, Maw is the best of them because he's the only one with anything resembling a personality.
And actually has like a proper... storyline.
Well, here's the thing. He's very entertaining and he also gets the best... dialogue with the heroes.
Yeah, like, he's also the strongest, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, like, probably why they had to throw him out the airlock.
Yeah, spoiler warning, he's the first to die as well. So it's
now,
like,
I was actually kind of shocked with like when he got sent. I know we're jumping way ahead, but when he got shot the air, got shot out of the ship, I'm like, he's probably going to be okay, right? Nope. Freezes in the vacuum of space, and we never see him again. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, he's dead. Okay.
Bye, Squidward.
Bye, Voldemort. So. That is actually the French version. They call him Voldemort at times as well.
Yeah, I read that.
So we get to the inside of the Asgardian ship. Asgardians are laying on the floor, dead everywhere. Heimdall's badly wounded as well.
I forgot Heimdall was in this movie until I saw his body on the floor. I'm like, oh shit, yeah, Heimdall's in this movie. Oh wow, he's not surviving.
No, he's not. So basically, they're bigging up Thanos, and then Loki comes out. He's the only one who's not wounded, really.
Yeah, because Thanos is holding Thor by the head at this point already.
Loki's basically like, oh yeah, and we have a Hulk. And the Hulk comes out.
Oh, that bit was great. We have the Hulk. And it's like, yeah, he said the line.
And Hulk's beating them and crap up Thanos, and then Squidward goes, let him have his fun. It's like, oh
yeah, that's the thing,
no.
When Hulk jumps Thanos, he is proper getting some good punches in. You're like, yeah. And then Thanos completely turns it around.
Yeah, because Thanos doesn't care. It's like, well, Thanos is just like, oh, this is mildly irritating.
Well, I think the way someone best described it is that the Hulk is just brutal inside. Thanos has a strategy.
Yeah.
Like, he dodges, he retaliates.
He's a trained fighter while...
And the Hulk doesn't know how Hulk to handle that. Because everything that the Hulk has fought so far has had no pattern to it. It's just like...
He can just smash.
Some random aliens, smash. Some random robots, smash.
You can't smash Thanos.
No.
So Thanos literally just beats the living crap out of him.
I think there is even a point where you see the Hulk's face actually turn into one of, oh, what, I'm losing?
I'm losing?
This doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's the bit where Thanos literally punches him in the neck.
Oh,
that's it. Oh! And Hulk literally visibly just goes, oh shit. It's like, and so Hulk's down, and even Loki's like, well, we're dead. And then Heimdall
being a bro is like, well, I'm getting him out of here.
And like, just uses the Bifrost to send him flying. And then he's killed by Corvus Glaive. Yep, he's gone.
Idris Elba's like, and thus my contract expires. that whole scene is just like...
Idris Elba, no!
The atmosphere is so oppressive. I felt on edge throughout that entire scene. Yeah. And it's so bad as well when Thanos is all like... You know, give me the Tesseract. And Thor's like, lol, joke's on you. Tesseract got blown up with Asgard. And Loki's like, about that. And pulls out, and Thor's like, oh, you really are the worst brother. Because remember, Loki at first is like, I don't have it. And then Thanos is like, okay, I'm just going to torture Thor then. And
yeah, he starts like...
Loki like is all like, do whatever. Like, I'm still evil. But like... Eventually, he's like, okay, no, fine, here,
it's,
damn it.
It's the continuation of the storyline from Thor Ragnarok, where Loki is actually starting to change. And
even though I saw this coming, I'm glad they still did it. The fact that Loki eventually fully achieves redemption. Because he finally goes, okay, like, you win, but I can help you. And he's like...
He's in the Tesseract, and then goes, you'll need a guide when you get
there. He's all like, oh yeah, I know Earth better than you, so I can help you. But then you see him pull the knife out behind his back.
And Thor's immediately like, at this point, it's like he's got covered up, so he can't say anything by...
More.
And then he sees and you can see it in his eyes, he's like, oh, don't do this. You're not gonna win.
I think that part of him is like that, but the other part is like, oh, he means it. Like, he has truly... And the thing is, we as the audience know it's not going to work. You're like, oh, Loki, you know.
Don't
and, like,
do it.
Swings the knife up, but Thanos just like, lol, I have space power. So
and
screw
it literally
you.
Comes right up to Thanos' neck. It's the epic moment of like, nearly getting him, but not
enough. I thought what Thanos was going to do was he was going to do that thing where he makes Loki stab himself in the neck or something. But no, what he does is arguably even worse.
Yes.
Literally just picks Loki up. And
very slowly lifts him up.
And then slowly squeezes his neck. There's no dramatic...
With the Infinity Gauntlet, by the way.
And there's no dramatic neck snap. Just keeps holding him until Loki just stops breathing. And you see his eyes get bloodshot. And blood leak out of his lips. And as this is happening, all I can hear is the... Da-da-da-da-da... Disney!
You know, a family picture.
Seriously, if you have children... And they ask you to take them to see Infinity War. Do not take them to see Infinity War. Oh my God.
People die, and people don't die nicely in this movie.
It's brutal. Like, there are children out there, and a little part of me wants to see this. There are children out there that are wrecks.
I know.
This movie.
It's not going to be just children either. I know several people at my workplace love Loki to bits, and when they saw Infinity War, they were in absolute...
But there's a difference between an adult... acknowledging this information and a child, especially when we start getting to the heroes. But yeah, Loki's death is
brutal.
It's awful. Like, oh, what an awful way to go. And you know what? Like, Loki sort of tries to get the last line in because as Thanos squeezes him, he just barely makes out, you will never be a god. Which is sort of meant to be like a, yeah, screw you, Thanos. But the thing is, though, look on Thanos' face. Even he's like, I don't give a shit. I'm not doing this to be a god. Shut up. And this kind of goes into one of the actual criticisms I kind of sort of have with the film. And that's Thanos' motivation. Now, in case you don't know, the motivation they've given him in this movie is very different to what he has in the original comics. Because in the comic, the reason Thanos wants to get the Infinity Stones and wipe out half the universe is because he fancies the embodiment of death.
Yes, like there is an embodiment of death in the Marvel universe.
He wants to get together with death, and he's like, I know how to please her. I'll kill half the universe, because she likes dead people, right? Here in the movie, his motivation instead, he wants to wipe out half the universe because he fears...
Population control,
he fears overpopulation. His home planet... succumb to overpopulation, they ran out of resources, people slowly died because it's like, we got nothing. And Thanos, before even he has the Stones, has been going to planet, wiping out half the population as a means, as in his eyes, he's doing them a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants. He wants to do this on a universal scale because he believes the universe has finite resources. We're not going to last. Existence is going to eventually stop because of this. So I'm trying to fix that, which is... not a bad motivation. I'm not going to be, oh, it's different to the comics, therefore it's bad.
I'd say it's got a good idea behind it, because we have people today who go, oh, yes, it's overpopulated not just the UK, but the whole world. And it's like, well, actually, no, it's not. You could argue there's a lot of other factors that are causing the world to go to shit, guys.
So the motive is not bad. And it does goes the way of making Thanos a much more sympathetic character in the film than he is in the comic. Because in the comic, he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate them making Thanos... sympathetic a bit. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's an evil, evil bastard and I want him to die. But...
you can see...
I disagree with all those articles that people have been saying, was Thanos right?
No!
And as people have also pointed out, you know, he's like, the only way to solve this problem is to wipe out half the universe. And then the natural response to that is, but the Infinity Stones grant you omnipotence. You can do anything. Why not just create unlimited resources? Or...
yeah.
Do anything else. And he's like, no, I've got it. And I suppose
that's the thing you could argue that he's single-minded.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like Thanos is so dead... this is sort of a problem where the film sort of seems to go back and forth. And on one day, they want to make him out as if like, oh, I take no joy in this. But he secretly does. Only I have the will to do this. I don't take any pleasure in this. It's something I feel like we have to do. But at the same time, you know, he has daughters that he collects and has them fight each other to the death. And he goes around... he does seem to take some sort of pleasure occasionally in fighting the heroes. And like, I feel like you're trying to have both different kinds of Thanos at the same time.
And it's not quite gelling well.
It's not quite working. It doesn't ruin the movie, but I feel like, I really think they should have stuck with the original. And I get why they changed it, because they did say it's a bit silly.
But that's kind of the point of a comic book movie,
plus,
really.
It would make his actions in this movie make more sense. It's like him going around beating the shit out of people. And I feel like it would have been much greater to have the heroes be confronted with the biggest of the bads, their greatest threat yet. And then they find out that the reason he's doing all this is because he fancies a girl and wants to impress her. I feel like the hero... I think
the heroes would lose
exactly.
it.
Tony would have just been like, what?
Go on Tinder, you maniac!
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, again, not a terrible motivation. The film still works, but... that is a little bit of an issue, and yeah. I do understand where people are coming from when they complain about that. But anyway, Loki dies.
Loki dies. the ship gets blown up. Thor obviously survives.
Poor Thor. Like, the fact that the last thing he does as the ship is going around, not trying to escape, just crawls over to his brother's corpse. And just hugs it. Because he got him back, and now he's lost him again.
And this time forever.
As he says later in the movie, you know, a part of me thinks that he's still alive somewhere, but... I think this really is it. I don't think.
Well, even Thanos goes, no more resurrections this time.
At least until Avengers 4.
Unless there's a drop in the ratings. I mean, no, he's definitely gone.
Because I'm saying this now. These deaths. Don't get me wrong. The deaths in this movie are very impactful. They do their job. But at the same time, they are so coming back to life at the end of the next movie. They're not staying dead. It's like, no, it's not happening. This isn't denial or anything. Legitimately, these characters are not staying dead.
There's some I argue could stay dead. Like Heimdall's definitely gonna stay dead. Loki, I could argue, could stay dead. It's the ones at the end that I would argue are coming back.
I mean, I know he said we're spoiling it, but I'm going to be a little bit more coy. Anyway, without jumping to the end a little bit, I feel like it wouldn't make sense to have the characters at the end of the movie come back to life and characters at the beginning of the movie not, if that makes sense. Because in my head, the only way this can be fixed is if somebody gets the Infinity Gauntlet back from Thanos and they use... Because in the original comic, the Infinity Gauntlet comic that this is based off of, Thanos wipes out half the universe, or the remaining heroes show up to kick his ass, get battered into the ground. Like, they die. Every single one of them dies.
Mm-hmm.
But then Nebula manages at some point to take the gauntlet from Thanos and uses its power to reverse the previous 24 hours. So I feel like that's what's going to happen here in Avengers 4, is that someone will get the gauntlet back, they'll rewind time to the point where before any of this started, before Thanos even like got the first stone. So everyone that died as a result of this movie will then come back to life.
Yeah. We'll see.
But
we'll
see.
But that's, also, Jesus Christ, Nebula.
That's the year away. Oh, Nebula.
Oh, Nebula.
Oh, Nebula, you got it rough.
We'll get to that. So, Bruce Banner ends up crashing into Doctor Strange's house.
Yeah.
Him and Wong are like, what the hell's going on? And then quickly bring Tony in, like, yeah, your friend's here.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
That was so sweet, the fact, because the two have not seen each other in years, and Bruce's first reaction is just to grab Tony and hug him. Like, partly because he's missed him, and partly because, dude, Thor died. I mean, he didn't, but he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that. Like, he thinks he's dead.
And that's the proper thing. It's like, hey, you know our friend, the God of Thunder guy? Yeah? Dead.
Dead.
Who killed him?
Who killed him?
It's like some big purple asshole. And it's like, ooh.
Oh, God.
And I love the interactions between Tony and Strange. I think that's great. Because they clearly do not get along. Oh, they're like... Because they're both quite egotistical, so of course they can't quite stand each other. So,
and it's just bouncing off each other with barbed words. Like,
exactly.
Yes.
That, at the same time, though, I'm glad they didn't get into an actual fight. Because I kept hearing...
No.
I kept worrying. They're like, we're not going to get like an actual fight between them, are we? And they don't. Like... They don't get along and they bicker, but at no point do they ever...
They never come to blows or even raise their hand to do a blow.
Yeah, exactly.
They just keep it...
Because I'm like, okay, good. In fact, the only time heroes ever fight each other is when later on in the film, when Tony, Strange, and Spider-Man arrive on Titan and run into half the Guardians, and they get into a fight...
Because they don't know what's
going on.
And
in that case, it makes sense because they don't know who the others are. And so I was like, okay, and the fight isn't even that long. So I was like, okay, this hero fight I'm fine with, but no more aside from this, right? No, there's no more. Okay, thank God.
Thank God for that.
Like... That scene's great, though. Where is Gamora? I'll do you one better. Who is Gamora? No, I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora? That line got a laugh from when I went to see it. And that was
a good one.
God damn it, Batista. You're so great.
I still remember back in the day when they announced that Batista was going to be Drax. I was like, oh, another wrestler as a character.
He's good
like,
as Drax,
but
though.
He's fantastic as Drax.
He's great as Drax.
Perfect. I'm like... I take everything back I said. You're perfect.
I know you've not seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but there's a great bit in that. Out of the way, smaller, dumber Groot.
God damn it.
Or the bit when Mantis reads Quill's emotions in that movie and is like, oh, I sense that you love Gamora. Yeah, but as a friend, sexual love. And then Drax starts laughing at him.
Oh, I've seen that in the trailers.
That bit's great.
You must be so embarrassed!
Anyway.
So, as they're talking, they realise that Strange has the Time Stone in
I love the fact that they come up with a very easy solution to beat Thanos. Let's just get rid of the Time Stone. And Strange has to, of course, be the one who goes, no, we can't get rid of it because I've sworn an oath to protect it. And I'm like, we really couldn't come up with a better justification. Like, and the thing is, though, you could even say, like, oh, but, like, they could have said something like, oh, but the stones can't be destroyed, they're too powerful. Until later in the film, when they say, hey, Scarlet Witch could destroy Infinity Stones. It's like, son of a bitch!
Damn it!
But, anyway.
We then see, like, stuff's going on outside, like, there's a huge wind being blown.
Yeah,
and there's a cue ship outside.
Yeah, to be fair, the people are, like, running away, like, in panic and fear, as you do. But I like to imagine some of them are just looking and going... Oh, not again.
It's Wednesday again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, not this shit. And yeah, I mean, I've not watched the Doctor Strange movie, so I don't have as much...
Oh, really?
I don't have as much love for him as I do some of the other characters, but it was still pretty badass seeing Iron Man, Strange, and Wong all standing side by side ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Like, I love that shot.
I love it that Wong actually gets some really good moments in this as well.
I've not watched the film, but I knew he was like the psychic character. But for the first like quarter of the movie, he does shit. Like, I love the part where he saves Banner from the big guy, Cull Obsidian, sends a portal that sends the guy to the Arctic. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, Wong just shuts the portal over the dude's hand and just cuts it off.
It's like,
yeah! Eat it, bitch.
Also, at this moment, Peter Parker sees it and goes, Ned, cause a distraction.
We're all gonna die! And then, of course, the Stan Lee cameo. Have you kids never seen a spaceship before? Also, one minor complaint. Like, obviously, everyone's distracted, so no one sees Peter jump outside
but
the bus.
But no one did the other cars. Yeah,
I guess none of the people in the cars behind them saw Spider-Man get out of a school bus and go, oh my god, Spider-Man's a teenager? But apparently not. But
I'm assuming the argument is they were looking at the side going, oh dear god. It's Monday.
But yeah, and Spider-Man showing up to... I love the fact that just Iron Man just says to Spider-Man, what's going on? This guy named for space, go save the wizard. And Spider-Man's like, okay.
Okay.
That's the point. Doctor Strange just shows up with magic and Tony's like, okay.
Okay, fine.
Doesn't question it.
I think at this point you kind of can't. It's sod it, someone has this power now.
Also, another very minor thing that I want to quickly talk about. I appreciate the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow is in only one scene of this movie and she didn't get top billing. No, yes, I am still bitter about Spider-Man Homecoming, where she's third in the billing list. It's like, sod off. You were barely in Homecoming. You should not have been that high up. But anyway.
Seriously,
if the Infinity War credits began and it was like Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Gwyneth Paltrow, I would have lost my shit.
No!
But also, can I point out, I really want to watch the Doctor Strange movie now, if only for that cloak. That cloak was an amazing
character. Yeah, the cloak's
character.
Like that in the movie as well.
Like when
it's
awesome. When it smacks Tony for leaning on the cauldron. Or when Spider-Man runs into it in more ship later, and just sort of waves to him.
Yeah.
And Spidey doesn't question it. It's just a magic flying cloak there. And he's like, oh, hey. And the cloak helps later in the fight against Thanos, which I loved as well.
The cloak is a damn useful thing, and I love it. It has its own characterization, and it works.
Oh my god,
so
it's the freaking carpet from Aladdin.
Yes, yes, it's exactly that.
And I was going to say earlier, it was in the trailers all the time, but that shot of Strange doing the magic symbols thing, and then Tony sliding past to fight, I was like, yeah, that bit was great as well. Like Tony
also
when Moore shows up and he does his whole monologue thing, and Tony's like, dude, shut up, and then Tony tells him, bugger off. And Moore turns to Strange and goes, does this monkey speak for you? No, I speak for myself. And you're trespassing on this city and this planet. Basically means get lost, Squidward. And he's like, yeah! They don't, even though they don't like each other, they at least both know it's like, but we're on the same side though.
Great.
Oh yeah. We're going to kick his ass. And like you said, Moore's pretty damn strong. I love the fight he has with Strange. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
It's such a great magic fight. And Strange get some good hits in, but it's very clear that this guy is bloody powerful.
Moore ends up winning and takes Strange back to his ship. And
he starts winning and then the cloak takes Strange.
Oh yeah, that bit was great.
Away!
But then Moore gets him and Iron Man and Spidey have to fight him because, oh shit, he's got the time stone.
Yeah. Oh god, that moment. It's in the trailers as well, but it's the bit where Strange is held up and it's these...
Oh, the crystals
going into his face. Oh god! It's such a horrible... And then Peter Parker's have you seen this movie called Aliens? It's
Well, that's the thing though. This was one of the things that really bugged me at the time, because they're trying to find their way to save Strange, and Spidey's like, have you ever seen Aliens? And it's fuck. And then it immediately cuts to Strange screaming as the crystals drive further into his skull. And it's no, not laughing time. This is bad. Yeah, guys, can you stop with the banter and pop culture references?
Someone kind of needs help.
By the way, gotta love the fact that when they run into Star-Lord, Iron Man has says, okay, no more pop culture references from you. And it's they keep making pop culture references anyway. And it's come on, guys, you can't have your cake and eat it.
Oh, you know it will never stop. It'll never end.
Also, can we also talk about the facts that, Tony's Bruce, get the Hulk out. And the Hulk won't come out.
Yeah, so it's the Hulk has been traumatized.
Well, at first I was worried, because the Hulk never actually explains why he doesn't come back for the whole movie.
He just keeps screaming, no!
After Thanos beats the shit out of him, he never shows up for the rest of the movie, aside from that when Bruce briefly transforms for Hulk to, scream no. And they never explain why, and I was really worried that the justification was going to be, it's Hulk, why won't you come out and help us? Because I only want to fight Thanos. Because if that was the excuse, I'd have gone, oh, sod off. Oh, that's a shitty reason. But I think after watching the film and discussing with somebody else, this theory is a lot more likely, and I really hope it is. It's just the fact that Hulk's scared.
Yeah,
for the first
that's
time,
what I think.
For the first time in his life, he's properly lost.
He's been beaten so badly.
I mean, he kind of lost to the Hulkbuster before, but in that instance, he wasn't fully in control anyway.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't in full control. And also, he was still kind of the same level.
You know what? Knowing him, he probably doesn't count that.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't me, though. I was being mind controlled. That totally didn't count.
This one, it was he lost.
And badly. It wasn't even a close fight.
It was so one-sided.
So the idea of Hulk being terrified of Thanos and now he's now scared of even, like, stepping out to fight anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's fine. And also, it means Bruce gets lots of really cool moments since he's able to kick ass without needing to go into the Hulk. Like him piloting the Hulk buster at the end of the... I love that bit when he's like, come on, Hulk, you need to get out. Hulk goes, no. And Banner goes, oh, screw you, you big green asshole. I'll do it myself then. And beats the shit out of Cull Obsidian.
Mm-hmm. And sends him flying into the dome.
That death's brutal.
Yeah, because you literally just see him scraping on the side of the force field, starting to crack and disintegrate. And it blows up. It's like, oh.
They all get pretty gruesome deaths. Like, Ebony Maw fired out of the spaceship and freezes to death in space.
I'd say...
Cull Obsidian reduced to ashes as he scrapes on the force field. Proxima.
She's is the worst.
Just smashed by one of her own giant wheel things.
She just gets lifted up by Scarlet Witch and crushed to death by that blooming
wheel.
I
love how the blood splatters on Black Widow. And she's like, okay, that was gross.
That was gross.
And Okoye has the best line. Why was she up there?
Okoye has the best lines.
There are so many good lines.
I was hoping to open a Starbucks, maybe.
I love that. Olympics, maybe even a Starbucks. Also, after that shot when Scarlet Witch, Okoye, and Black Widow teamed up on Proxima, I'm like, okay, if we get a Black Widow movie, don't make it a solo movie, make it about these three.
Yes.
I want to see these three gal-palling around and being the best of friends.
Or just an Okoye movie, please.
Well, considering how this movie ends.
Yes.
Oh,
but
God.
We'll get to that.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Strange, Tony, and Spidey are in space now heading to Titan. And oh, that bit as well, when they're like, okay, let's turn the ship around. And Tony goes, but what if we actually go to Thanos? And Strange is like, that's a terrible idea. But then Tony sort of convinces him. But then Strange is like, okay, we'll go to this plan. But just so you know, Stark, if it comes between saving you, the child, or the Time Stone, I will let both of you die. And it's like, damn!
Well, considering what happens at the end, like, what happened after the events of Doctor Strange, it's like, yeah, Doctor Strange kind of does hold that amulet quite handily.
Yeah, and also, it's like, it's just, I feel like Strange doesn't bring up enough the fact that when he sees that Spider-Man's a child, I feel like he doesn't go off on that enough. Like, he's shocked, but I feel like there should be a point where he looks at Tony and he's like, you brought a kid in on this.
Yeah.
By the way, minor complaint, Peter, keep your mask on. He has it off in this movie so much. And it's probably because they don't want him to have the mask on too much to see, look, Tom Holland, his face is on the screen. But it's like, what is even the point of a secret identity if you're not going to... I'm sure Doctor Strange will keep it. He doesn't know who Peter is, so...
No.
And he's a good guy, I'm sure he... And the Guardians, you know, they live in space.
They're not going to know.
If they tell... They could tell anybody in space, hey, their kid called Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Everyone would be like,
who?
Who? But at the same time, ooh. At the same time, it's like, you think he'd be a bit more careful around strangers.
But nope.
I guess because he thinks, Tony trusts him, so I'm sure it'll be okay, but whatever.
It'll be fine.
Anyway.
Nothing bad's going to happen to me.
Minor complaint, anyway. But that's also a thing as well. Again, very minor. I feel like we've talked about more minor complaints than that.
That's the thing. Like, there's loads of minor complaints, but they're outweighed by the yeah.
It's the fact that some of the characters in this movie seem to forget the lessons they learned in previous movies. Mm. Like Spidey in Homecoming was all about, like, he wanted to be an Avenger. He wanted the glory. He wanted to fight more deadly supervillains. And then Tony was all like, no, you need to be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And at the end of that movie, when Tony said, I want to make you an official Avenger, Spidey turned it down and said, no, I want to stay on the ground level and look out for the little guy. Like, somebody needs to be there for them. And then in this movie, oh, giant aliens, I'm off to save the world, go to space.
I'm supposed to be fair on that one. It's like, it was happening right there. And he's like, well, shit.
I suppose you could make the things happen so fast. And he even says, like, I can't be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man if there's no neighborhood. Okay, it didn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
It's like, yeah, that's fair enough.
But
so at this point, it's the Guardians at this point. They find four floating in space.
God, I love the fact that scene starts off, you know, they're listening to the music, they sing along, they respond to the distress signal, and then they just see the corpses of the Asgard. That was worse, the fact when the ship blew up, it didn't destroy the corpses. They're still there. Just floating in space. It's like, ooh.
Oh, God.
I will actually...
I swear I saw Heimdall's body at one point.
I will also quickly say, one of the things I was worried about Infinity War was the pacing, because there's so many characters and so many different, like, storylines going on. I was really worried the pacing was going to be bad. It's not. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was about to say, the flow is fantastic.
Yeah, it's got a good flow to it. Even when it cuts away to a completely different scene, I still feel like, okay, it's good that we're here now, because I wanted to see what was going on. And I love the way all the characters splinter off and come together. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Guardians themselves, when they meet Thor, they split up because it's like, okay, half of us need to go get the Reality Stone from the Collector, and half of us can go with Thor to the Forge to make the Stormbreaker. Mm-hmm.
I also love Thor and
Star-Lord.
Peter Quill's. This is my voice.
He did it again. It's like, are you trying to sound like the god man? This is how I always speak.
I love this movie.
Are you mocking me?
He's trying to copy my voice. We could spend this whole hour just quoting that movie.
The movie.
Also, I love how when Thor finds out Gamora is Thanos' daughter, he does, at first is a bit of a but then he's like, you know, I know what you're going through. You know, recently I lost my father, and then my brother, and my sister showed up and took my eye. And Quill's all there like, well, I had to kill my dad. I kind of technically lost two dads, I think, but I am my mom, so... And I didn't have to lose an eye to do that. It's like, wow, Quill, you're an asshole. I do like how Thor's handled in this movie, because he spends like most. He's very entertaining, and he carries on the personality he had from Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Like, I love how he keeps referring to Rocket as a rabbit, but he does it as a means of respect. Thank you, kind rabbit. And Rocket's like, okay.
Just roll with it.
I think I heard somewhere that the reason why Rocket doesn't get angry about it is because he's not being condescended to.
Yeah,
like if Thor isn't calling him rabbit as an insult. It's just because he's a rabbit.
It's respect. Like he can tell that.
Who'd have thought that the best bromance in this movie would be between Thor and Rocket?
Rocket, yeah.
This
works so well.
This interaction is fantastic, and I do like how Rocket's such a snarky bastard in it. But like when he sees that Thor is clearly suffering, he does sort of talk to him about it and lets him, you know, vent. Because even though Thor has a lot of great funny lines in this, and he's all like, "Ah, I'm gonna kill Thanos," you can tell that he's barely holding it together.
Yeah.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, the only reason he wants Thanos is just revenge. He wants Thanos dead.
Like, he mentions the fact that most of the Asgardians are dead. Like, half of the bodies we saw, that was half of the Asgardians alive. The other half,
I feel like
apparently Valkyrie as well, are gone.
I don't think the movie made this clear enough, because there was a lot of people going, did Valkyrie die off screen?
That was what
and
I was worried
about. If Valkyrie did die off screen, I'd have been super pissed. But apparently recently the director did confirm, oh no, Valkyrie is alive.
It wasn't the director, I think it was Kevin Feige.
Oh, somebody did. Yeah. The point is they said, no, don't worry, Valkyrie is definitely alive. She did get out. And it's like, yes, Avengers 4, come on.
Yes.
And then Korg and Meek will show up. And like, yes!
Just all three of them come out of the ship to fight
Thanos. No, can you imagine? The cavalry's here, and then Korg walks out. And it's like,
hi, I'm Korg.
He's like, you brought Korg!
No, you know Thor would be like, Korg!
I stepped on Meek during the battle, and I've kind of been carrying his corpse around out of guilt. Oh, I know, he's still alive. I love him so much.
This is so perfect.
Not enough people turned up to my resistance because I didn't print up enough pamphlets.
I don't think Kevin Feige just confirmed that they're alive, and it's like, they bloody better be.
Well, after the end of this movie, who knows? Oh god, we haven't even got half. There's still so much.
We've only got half an hour left.
Less than half an hour. There's too much. Okay, like we can't sum up the entirety of the movie because we'll never get there. But let's just before we get to the end, let's just think about what else happens in that movie that was really good. Obviously, the Guardians split up to
Peter Dinklage is in this movie.
Yeah, I was surprised as well. Like when he showed up, I'm like, is that Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, it's Peter Dinklage is the king of the dwarves in this movie.
Was he the king?
Giants.
I thought he was just a dwarf.
I think Eitri is meant to be the king of the dwarves in the Marvel.
Well, whoever he is, he's the last of the dwarves now. Holy shit.
The bit where he's like, why was Asgard not there? And it's like, Asgard's gone.
And it's like, oh shit. Sorry, bro.
Sorry.
Yeah, and the fact that Thanos just showed up, said, build me an Infinity Gauntlet and I won't kill you. He's like, okay, I built your Infinity Gauntlet. And Thanos is like, lol, gonna kill everybody else.
Like, okay, kill everyone else. Which also, that adds to the problem. He kills half of a population, yet he killed all of the other dwarves except for Eitri.
Yeah, it's like,
that's going against what you're kind of saying, bro.
What's your problem, Thanos?
Also, he took Eitri's hands as well, which were they're just stumps.
Yeah, it's
dude.
And whilst that's going on, the other Guardians, which are Quill, Gamora, Drax, and Mantis, because Thor tells them, the Collector has the Reality Stone, so you guys need to go get another movie and go there. And like, I remember when it got to that scene, they find Thanos torturing the Collector for the stone. I'm like, wow, that's good timing, the fact that Thanos is already there. And Drax is like, this guy orders Ronan to kill my family. And he's like, Drax, no, Drax. And Thanos spots him, and then they're like, oh shit, okay, don't worry, I have a plan. And then Gamora just stabs Thanos, and he's like, proper stabs him, bleeding from the neck.
Stabs him, and he's like, whoa, wait, what?
And they got us, and I'm like, oh, film's over. All right, good game, guys, good game. And then He
already has the reality stone.
Like, reality phase, the place is actually already in ruins. The collector vanishes, and it's like, oh no. God.
And the room's on fire. Like, yeah. It's burnt
ash. That's a good scene.
Also, I love it. One other thing I love it that they actually do, like, properly show the power of the stones in this movie, because the reality stone especially...
Yeah, it alters reality.
Like, he uses it against Drax. Drax just basically turns into cubes.
Oh, that...
Mantis...
Oh...
Mantis turned, like...
Into, like, ribbons.
Yeah, she's just basically, like, turned into a ribbon. Still alive, by the way.
Oh, that moment actually made me feel ill.
Yeah,
because I thought they were dead. I thought, I was like, oh my God, is this how they die? But they, fortunately, they reconstruct once Thanos leaves, but, like... Ugh.
Yeah, that reality stone is... I'd say the reality stone is one of the most powerfulest of them.
Gotta love how Thanos is like, I now can alter reality to my whim, which is why I'll only use it to alter the scenery twice. I'm never gonna use it again for the rest of the movie. I feel that is a bit of an issue. Like, Thanos does... Here's the thing. Going back to the whole Thanos' motivations are a bit eh thing, is that it's clear that he's holding back.
Yeah.
Every time he gets into a fight with the characters... You know, by the time he gets to Titan, he has four of the things. Four of six of them. And it should not have been a competition. But they still managed to put up a really good fight. And you can't make the argument that Thanos is holding back. And in the comic, you know, when the heroes show up to fight Thanos, because he's courting Death and wants to impress her, Mephisto sort of says to him, hey, Thanos, you know what Death would really like? If you beat these guys without the stones? And Thanos is like, yeah, she would like that. That's why it made sense for him to hold back and not use the full power of the stones. Here... He's so dead set. He's made out to be like, you know, I'm doing this for the sake of the universe. You'd think he'd be a bit more efficient. He'd be like, I've got no time to waste with you assholes.
Just... Die.
Yeah, but no, it's a...
I got the answer to that. It's because there wouldn't be a movie if it did.
Shit. Fair enough.
I feel that's an argument that people seem to forget. It's like, oh, but this one... It's like, yes, but also there wouldn't be a movie. You kind of do have to take that into account.
Fair
enough.
But still, no. Thing is, though, going back to that scene, it's like...
It's the
part when Thanos grabs Gamora, yeah. And then she's like, Quill, kill me. You promised, kill me.
Because she asked him to kill him earlier.
And also, they kissed as well. Can I point out, I'm not fond of the Quill-Gamora romance they've had building up over the Guardians movies. Like, it's just always been there, and then it finally comes to a head in this film where they kiss, and it's like, oh,
okay.
And Gamora even says later, I think she says to him, I love you. And it's not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just one of those things where, like, they put this thing because they're like, we need to have a romance somewhere. And it's like, you didn't really need to. Not to say that the scene is still messed up.
It's
because
it's horrifying. Because like, he's holding her and he's like, gun.
Are you going to kill her? Well, go ahead. Go do it. Go on, do it. I thought like Quill was going to be an idiot and like try to shoot Thanos instead. But no, he pulls the trigger to shoot Gamora and bubbles just come out. And even his blaster just vanishes in the bubbles. And Thanos just goes, I like him. And then vanishes.
It's like, oh.
I did love that line as well. Ah, the boyfriend.
It's like, oh, damn. And then when he gets on his ship, we see what happened to Nebula.
Oh dear God.
Like, you see it at 1 a.m. and it's like, okay, she's torturing her.
The camera turns around.
Oh, my God.
And you see, like, her, she's in pieces, suspended in the air and screaming. And again, da-da-da-da-da, Disney.
It's like, oh my God.
And again, just like with the Loki Thor scenario, tell me where the Soul Stone is. No. Okay, torture Nebula. Okay, I'll tell you. Christ. There's a lot of that happening in this movie.
Yeah. It's... God, that whole scene was just like, oh my God.
And it's also like, because I actually found myself really not liking Nebula.
After
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I found myself really liking Nebula. Like, I barely remember her in the first movie, but in Guardians of the Galaxy 2...
Well, in the first one, she was just... kind of just generic.
Yeah,
assassin,
and really. They gave her a lot more in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm really looking forward to actually see what they do with her in the future. But anyway, and also this brings up the fact that we finally see the Soul Stone. We may as well talk about the whole Soul Stone bit.
Yeah.
Because like the Soul Stone for the longest time was like, where's the Soul Stone? And now we know it's on this planet. And I want to talk about this actually real quick, because like Gamora takes Thanos to the planet where it is, and there's like some weird big citadel looking thing or something.
And then you see this, what looks like a Dementor essentially.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's like this guy's like, why are you here? Yeah. I'm here for the Soul Stone. It's like, well, to get the Soul Stone, you must pay a heavy price. Right. Like, and I'm like, who the hell is this asshole?
And
he walks into the
cloak,
light. And it's Red Skull. I let out an audible
gasp.
Like,
whoa!
It's actually like, it was guys because I was the only one, but like everyone else is in complete silence. And then Red Skull appears. And then I just go, in fact, when I left the cinema, my friend who was watching it with me said to me, Michael, was that you who gasped when Red Skull showed up?
Yes. Like, it was such a, oh my, because for the longest time before, yeah, where did Red Skull go?
Where did he go? And it turns out Space Stone sent into this random ass planet. And he's kind of a bit like, yeah, sir, it's been rough.
But he's kind of like he's not completely human anymore.
Well, I think it's because he's been there for so long. He's just sort of kind of mellowed out. He's sort of like, well, wow, I screwed up. But and he's basically been stranded there. Like so many people have come for the Soul Stone and none of them succeeded. And it's like, okay, how do I get the Soul Stone? You must give up the thing you love most. And Gamora was all like, ha! In your face, Thanos! And you don't love anything except yourself.
Thanos turns around, he's got tears in his eyes. He's like, oh, yes. Tears in your eyes, really? And then
they're not for him.
And it's the penny drop. We're like, oh, no.
And the fact that Gamora even tries to stab herself, like, to kill herself before Thanos gets a chance. And again, turns the sword into bubbles. And it's actually, it's very uncomfortable to watch Thanos dragging Gamora and throwing her off the side.
It's the same image of when he's, like, grabbing her and pulling her when she was a child, when he took her from the planet. And he calls her a little one, doesn't he, the whole time. Like, he sees her as a daughter. Like, he raised her to replace him one day. And he just, without a second thought, throws her off the edge.
You just see her body. And I remember actually watching this going, oh shit.
Oh shit.
And Thanos is genuinely distraught by what he had to do. And again, I do like the fact, again, they made Thanos very sympathetic. And the fact that he's genuinely heartbroken by it. He did love, in his own twisted way, he did love her. And it's just the fact that he's more dedicated to his cause than he loves Gamora. At the same time, though, I'm sort of like, it's like, I love Gamora. Okay. Why, though? What? It's like, why did you love Gamora? Like, why, out of all the children you could have picked from that planet, why did you pick her? Because she was a fighter. She struggled. So no other children were struggling when you lined them up and pulled a bit of a Holocaust scenario on them.
She was the only one who stood out.
Also, didn't you, like, force her to fight Nebula over and over again and, you basically conditioned her to be a warrior, and it was clearly a very abusive relationship. Shut up, I loved her!
Pretty much.
It's like, but anyway.
Moving on, we then get to Wakanda.
The thing is, let's not forget the part where Vision and Scarlet Witch, you know, are like bedmates in Scotland.
I've seen so many people go, oh, don't care about Vision and Scarlet Witch. Screw you, don't care. I liked it in this movie. In the previous one, I was like, okay. I mean, in this one, I'm like,
I like the fact they have the romance here because it is in the comics. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm not there like going, oh, I hope they make it work. I'm just there like, okay, yeah, it's big in the comics. By the way, gotta love the fact that Elizabeth Olsen has straight up given up trying to do the accent anymore. Like, I left that movie and one of my friends are like, did she even have her accent in that movie? And I'm like,
no.
Oh shit, she didn't. Yeah, she just stopped doing it. Yeah, she can't be bothered anymore. But anyway, and then
I'm just gonna say right now, I'm a fan of Paul Bettany, so.
So you don't care.
So I don't care. Yeah, exactly. It's like, Paul Bettany.
But I love that bit where, like, they're in Scotland and Vision's there like, you know, oh, we've been trying to make this work. And I think it does work. And I want us to be together. And then out of nowhere, Corvus Glaive just shoves the blade through his back and straight through.
Ooh!
Just out of nowhere. And it's like, ooh!
Ooh. Now Michael's peeking.
Yeah, now I'm peeking.
And it's a proper, like, lift up. And he's like, Vision gets
messed up throughout this entire movie.
Vision gets needs a hug.
Considering he's one of the most powerful superheroes in the cast, it's like that same. That's probably why they did it. They had to neuter him somewhere, otherwise he'd just be kicking ass all the time.
And he still kind of kicks ass.
Oh yeah, he does. Like, I do love the fight he has with Corvus, but then like,
while still kind of being stabbed.
And then that one bit where like Corvus just shoves his spear into his head and trying to pry the Mind Stone out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that bit, the best bit is like they're cornered and Vision's like, no, just run away, leave me. And Scott's like, I'm not gonna leave you. And then that train just goes past and the villain's like, huh? And it goes away.
Captain America's there
in the shadows. And as he walks out of the show,
and just the bit where they throw the glaive, he's like, I'm Captain America, bitch!
Just catches the spear. And then Falcon and Black Widow come out of nowhere and just kick ass. It's like, yes!
Oh, such and an then, happy moment.
And then they're like, okay, Vision's kind of busted. And actually, no, they didn't even go to Wakanda first. They have to go to the old Avengers compound.
Oh, yeah.
Where Ross is being a dick still.
Because it's Ross. Like, he's always a dick.
Literal alien invasion. Planet's in panic. He sees Captain America and others walking.
Arrest that
it.
Man.
He's like, Rhodes, arrest him. Rhodes is like, on it. Just flicks the hologram away. Guys! By the way, I love the fact that, like, Rhodes runs into Falcon and Vision again. And he's not petty or pissy about the whole losing... feeding in his legs thing. Just welcomes him back with
especially a hug. Sam, because Sam was actually on the other side.
Because he's like, you know, water runs the bridge, and he's like, obviously, since the whole Sokovia Accords, he's realised, yeah, this did not work out how I wanted it to. This could have gone better. So
he says it to Ross, that it hints that, yeah, I would have probably been on the other side if I knew what was going to happen.
And then plus, considering the situation, he's like, there is no point in us fighting, because like, we're on the same side here. And then Bruce, you've got to love the fact that like Bruce returns, and him and Natasha see each other, and it's like, hi, Bruce. Hi, Nat. And it's like, this is awkward. And then done. Never again. I'm like, thank God. We're not dwelling on this.
We're not dwelling on that relationship.
I still don't like it. Anyway. And then that's when they say, like, you know, Vision's all like, there's only one way to stop Thanos. Destroy the Mind Stone. But then that will kill you. And it's like, yes. Also, just for extra dramatic irony, Scarlet Witch, the woman I love and who loves me back, is the only one who can kill me. And she's like, I'm not going to do it.
Which does lead to a pretty horrible emotional bit later on in the movie.
Oh, God, yeah. But then, of course, that's when they're like, well, what if we manage to find a way to get the Mind Stone out of Vision while still keeping Vision? And Cap's like, I know someone. And then we go to the Wakanda. And that whole bit there where it's like, do I bow? He is the king. He like bows, and Black Panther's like, we don't do that here. Also, she's barely in the movie, but Shuri makes her mark. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we. It's like, oh, you put Vision together this way. Yeah, why didn't you do it this way? Wait. Because we didn't think about that. At least you tried. Right. I'm like, I love Shuri so much!
Wakanda, it's more advanced than you two.
Also, you do realise that Shuri was confirmed to be the smartest person in the entire MCU. She's smarter than Bruce and smarter than Tony.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, which I love. And so she has to like get the mindset out of Vision whilst they hold off those Outrider monster things.
Yeah.
Which, ooh, they're creepy.
It's just like, a bit generic, but they're still creepily designed. Yeah. Like their forearms are claws.
It's the fact that when we first see them, they're just like, they're in the pods just writhing about like, nah. And then the door opens and they just rush out. And
it's also the fact that they don't really have like a discernible face. They're just basically head and then it's just jaws.
Not to mention the fact that they're ripping holes through the force field, but it's killing them as they do.
Yeah, so they're just getting cleaved in half. And the Wakandans are like, what the hell are we getting ourselves into?
I do have to slightly question the strategy of like, oh, they're going around the perimeter where they're going to get Vision. And Black Panther's like, there's only one thing. We have to open the force field here so they'll come this way. And I'm like, okay, but that's not going to stop some of them from going around the perimeter, is it?
I think the thing is that they're so single-minded in attacking the closest thing that what will happen is once they see that they'll rush straight
and
forward.
That bit is so cool. Wakanda forever! And the whole thing rushes forward.
And I was the whole time going, please let M'Baku and Okoye survive. Please let them two survive the most.
Well. Also, love that bit
they
of Bruce.
Do.
I love that bit of Bruce passing the Hulkbuster and tripping, and Okoye just having that look of, oh my God. Also, poor Bucky. He looks so tired.
Bucky looks so broken.
Even T'Challa clearly doesn't just walks up with a new arm, and Bucky's like, where's the fight at?
Guess I gotta do it myself.
Yeah.
I'd love it if he actually did that, putting the arm on.
Hey, Buck, how you doing? Not bad for the end of the world. And
I love it when one of the spaceships tries to smash into Wakanda and it breaks upon the barrier. And he's just like, I love this
place.
Oh,
yeah, no, yeah, I love that line. Yes! And I will actually quickly say, because we're going to be quickly running out of time, and
we're
going to
have 10 minutes before we need to go.
More important points. I do love how... While it is also great seeing the entire cast, like, they're all here, and it's all great, they all get, like, a little bit to do, there is a very distinct... Like, some characters obviously get a lot more to do than others. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be real here. What does Black Widow do in this movie?
She gets in the way of Okoye. That's what she does.
Yeah, and it's like...
Look,
and it's not to say.
I wonder who you can guess who I like more out of the two.
And it's not to say like I wish these characters weren't in the movie. It's great they're in the movie, but it's like some characters get like these big moments and stuff. Like Teen Groot, for example, has very little to do in the overall movie until the Forge bit, where Thor's like trying to fix the Forge and build the Stormbreaker. He's mortally wounded, and Rocket's like, "Oh my God, he's dying!" And the
dwarf's
like he needs to get the hammer, but I can't find the handle anywhere. So Groot, like a badass, uses his own arm to form the handle for the axe and chops it off.
By the way, Groot's a teenager, remembering this. So a teenager is literally ripping his own arm off.
Well, it's great because throughout the movie, by this point, he's been all like, playing my game. But at this point, he sees Thor dying, and he's like, okay, no more playing around. I need to step up. And then we get the... I know we've jumped way ahead, but this was the best part of the movie. Like... Thor gets the axe, we cut back to Wakanda, Bifrost comes down, and Thor, Rocket, and Groot are just standing there with, dun, dun, dun,
bring me Thanos!
And I love the fact that Rocket and Groot come with, and they don't hesitate to chuck. They do know where they are, They don't care about anybody else.
They're backing up.
They're
for
here and they're gonna fight. And that
the bit when Bucky picks up.
Oh yeah, Bucky picks Rocket up. That doesn't question it. Ah! How much for the gun?
How much for the arm?
I'll take it later. And my other favorite bit is like, you cut your hair, you copied my beard. This is my friend Tree, by the way. I am Groot. I am Steve Rogers.
That got a laugh.
I love it. Also, Thor speaks Groot.
Yes, he does. He understands everything he says. It's like, and even Groot's like, really?
Yeah. Also, the thing is though, someone pointed this out, because Thor says, this is my friend Tree, implying that Groot's real name is Tree.
Because he can understand it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
But that bit was cool. But also, another really cool scene, the fight the Titan heroes have against Thanos. Because they nearly win!
Yes!
Like,
they nearly
oh my god,
get
they actually nearly...
Off.
I was like, when they were in that position, like, they've got him pinned down. Mantis is... I love how they incorporate Mantis in this, because she's not a fighter.
No.
But they bring her in the last second to, like, use her empath powers on Thanos to destabilize him. And, like, Iron Man and Spidey are ripping the gauntlet off. And I'm a little bit mad that the only reason the plan doesn't work is because Quill bollocks it up for everybody.
When he, like, yeah, where's Gamora?
Yeah, it's like, he's kills Gamora. Also, hi, Nebula. She just shows up.
Yeah, Nebula's like, he did it.
He's like, oh, Gamora's probably dead by this point. And Quill buggers it all up for them and knocks Mantis off by accident, allowing Thanos to get a second wind. Mm. And to be fair, the rest of the fight after was great. Like, I love seeing Strange using his magic to fight him. And he seems to almost
the
have
cape
the
upper fights Thanos, and it gets kicked his ass as well. And then, like, oh yeah, I forgot. Iron Man mentions that his suit is made out of nanomachines.
Yeah.
Nanomachines, son!
Oh my god, why didn't I make that reference? Also, let's not forget, like, when...
He gets stabbed. It's like the final fight at the end of Black Panther, when they use...
Yeah,
like,
Thanos manages to, like, the nanomachines can't fix themselves enough, and Thanos rips off Tony's sword bit and just stabs him with it. And I was calling Tony dying in this movie.
Yeah.
And then when he stabs him, I went, oh!
Oh god!
I didn't think they'd do it!
And then, I hope they remember you. And like, preparing to kill him, and then Strange's like, stop! Because at this point, remember, earlier in the movie, he sees like 14 million ways.
I've seen 14 million plus ways how this turns out. How many of them do we win?
One.
Which, to be fair, I thought he was going to say none of them. And I was going to go, really? None? And then he goes, one. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Okay, that's good.
Even though realistically, really? Only one out of 14 million plus? Only one?
But yeah, he...
And apparently in none of... Also, another thing, as somebody pointed out, why didn't Doctor Strange just use one of his portal things to send Thanos to, like, a sun or something?
Yeah.
I feel like that... Or, like, use one of his portals to cut off Thanos' left hand. That's another problem I have with the movie. There are so many ways they could have easily have beaten Thanos. Like, later in the movie, Thor slams the Stormbreaker into Thanos' chest. And even Thanos himself says, you should have aimed for the head. And he said, I'm like... Yeah, actually, Thor, why didn't you aim for the head? I mean, I guess you can make the argument that
he was pretty far away throwing it.
You could make the argument that he wanted Thanos to suffer. Like, he was too... You know, the whole classic, like, you know, oh, I want you to feel the pain. But you could have...
It's the bit of Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones, where it's like, no, I want to hear you confess. And, well, we all know how that ends for him.
Like I said...
Except for Michael.
Like, going with the Quill example, part of the reason why Thanos keeps winning is because the heroes sometimes make very silly decisions. But again, like you said earlier, if we wouldn't have had a movie.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, yeah, Strange gives... I love the way it takes so long for him to give the time stone to Thanos. I was expecting something to happen at the very last moment. Like, Spidey grabs it to take it back, or the stone reveals to be a fake. But then, no, he puts it in. It's like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
And then he's just like, want to go. And just leaves. And that's another thing, because Strange says, you know, spare Tony and I'll give you the time stone. And I'm like, dude, you said what happened to earlier. But then, of course...
It comes later.
Yeah.
So Thanos ends up on Earth, and even everyone's like, wait, something's coming.
And he's like, oh, this is the guy. And they go to fight him, and they all get their asses added
like,
to them.
Even Captain America holds his gauntlet back, and it's like...
Oh, I love that.
And this is the bit where I thought he was going to die. Like,
to be fair, I love that scene. Even though we all saw it in the trailer, I love that scene so much. Because Thanos has five of the stones, and he's just holding Captain America down. But Cap pushes back, and even Thanos is a bit like, what the hell? What is... Huh? How are you doing this?
It's like... But it's then, Captain America.
And then, of course, you know, Vision's like, okay, because he got to start. Point, whatever. Point is, we've got 6 minutes left. And he's like, okay, Wanda, we literally have no other option. Destroy the stone and kill me. And the thing is, at first, I thought she wasn't going to do it in time. Because she's there trying to destroy it. And Thanos is slowly making... She's holding Thanos back. And I thought what was going to happen was Thanos was then going to grab Wanda at the last second, like, just throw her away.
And take it.
But no, she succeeds. She breaks the stone. And Vision dies, and she's devastated. And Thanos does actually a moment like, oh, wow, that sucks. well, poor you. I actually genuinely feel sorry for you. And I was like, and again, like an idiot for some reason. I was like, because apparently I wasn't paying attention. I was like, well, shit, yeah, Thanos, you lose. What are you going to do? And Thanos basically goes, kill our queen, bite the dust. Turns back time. Poor Vision. Turns back time. Vision's like, I'm alive. Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, no.
Vision dies twice.
In the space of a few minutes.
The poor bastard. And Thanos gets them all. And of course, he's about to do it. But then that's when Thor shoves Stormbreaker into his chest. And he's like, ha, we win. And Thanos goes, lol, no, you didn't.
Snaps his fingers.
And here's the thing, though. This is what then shocked me. I suspected that the movie would end with the snap. Like, Thanos would snap his fingers, cut to black. But no.
No.
We see the aftermath.
And it's eerily quiet.
And it is awful.
Like, Bucky immediately goes, Steve?
And then just disintegrates
to dust.
It's worse than in the comic, people just vanished. But here, you see it disintegrate. And half the cast just die!
Yeah.
Bucky! All of the Guardians apart from Rocket.
Just seeing Groot just disintegrating and Rocket like, no.
Rocket's the only one
left. Why is Groot dying again?
Even Mantis is like, something's very wrong. She disintegrates. Drax looks, he sees himself. Quill vanishes. Quill. And Tony goes, Quill, stay with me. And Quill just goes, oh no. And then he disintegrates. Black Panther, that bit where he's like,
I thought Black Panther was going to disappear.
That's how they do it. He reaches down to Okoye saying, this is not a good place to die. And you think Okoye's going to vanish. But then he disintegrates. Right. And I'm like, but no, you have a sequel, Black Panther. But the worst. Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. Oh, I was in tears.
That moment. It's just, I don't want to go.
Apparently Tom Holland improv that.
Yeah.
He's like, and then someone points out, like, how come he's reacting to, because everyone else is just, for everyone else, it's very painless. They just disappear. And it's like, what? But Peter's freaking out. And someone pointed out, it's because his spider sense is going off.
Yeah.
His spider sense is screaming at him, something bad is happening, and he can't do anything. Right. And he just disintegrates in Tony's arms. And like, what's even better is that nobody, like, I was expecting like someone to do a whole, no! But instead, no, everyone's just silent. Even Cap, yeah. He just falls on
it's
the ground.
Completely dead silent.
Cap just falls on the ground, just goes, oh God.
Oh God.
And not just that, also, I forgot, like, Falcon, half of Wakanda.
Half of Wakanda, like, M'Baku turns around and most of his army's gone.
I'm shocked he didn't vanish.
Yeah.
That's actually one thing. I'm actually very interested in wondering how they selected who was going to die. Like, do you reckon they did it randomly or if they had, like, a calculated thing?
I'm assuming they calculated, like, who they wanted to bring back.
And let's not forget, we don't see some other characters. Is Wong still alive? Is Aunt May? Like, what's worse? May dying from the snap or her seeing all these people vanishing and calling Peter and not getting an answer. Oh. And then the post-credit scene, Nick Fury and Maria Hill both die.
Yep.
And of course we get Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, mother.
Disappear. Just as he presses a signal and then we see the Captain Marvel logo.
It was never so sad. Like he presses the thing. It zooms in on the thing. I'm like, what is it? What is it? The logo appears and I go, I have no idea what that means.
Many people in the cinema were like, what the hell was that?
And then like a minute later, I'm like, oh yeah, Captain Marvel. Also, like, because we see the actual aftermath, we see, because Thanos are like, oh, half the people die and then that'll be fine. But then we see people in cars vanish, so they just crash.
A helicopter
crashes into a building. It's like, oh.
Yeah, a lot more people are going to die.
Yeah, it's awful to watch. I mean, I say it's done really well, but oh. And then the film just ends with Thanos sitting on some beautiful planet and sitting down and smiling with, yes, I've done it. And it's like, you piece of shit.
End of film.
Also, the final words of the film, Thanos will return. And I have to question, but he's won. Why is he going to come back?
Well, they've got to look for him.
Unless, possible, again, I know we've only got 2 minutes, so it's a bit late to be dropping theory.
Yeah, it'll be very, very quick.
It's a bit late to be dropping theories, but here's one. What if Thanos isn't the villain in the next movie? What if someone else shows up and Thanos is like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have wiped out half the universe. Like someone actually points out, what if Death is the true villain of the next movie? Who gets all like, Thanos, you just upset the cosmic balance. I have too many dead people in here, you piece of shit.
Nick. Pretty much. Oh, it's gonna be manic.
There's still too much to say about that movie, but we're just gonna have to call it here. Basically, too long didn't read. Infinity War was really good. I want Avengers 4 now, please.
And I'll play you out on this music. Wait, Michael, I don't.
James. James. Oh, great. Okay, guys, I've got to go get the Infinity Stones and defeat Thanos. So, see you next week, or the week after, hopefully. Bye.